How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Shurman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. Journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Well, now it's time to do what we are normally doing around this time on Friday afternoons, going through some listener email, reading through it, responding as we can, and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll get to Issues Etc. blog of the week at the end of this hour. Before we get to email, I don't know whether to call this a tragedy or a victory, because staring across at me across the glass at me are a Collinsville native and an Edwardsville native. And the two towns have been locked in mortal combat through their sports teams for what? Hundreds of years? Is that safe to say? Hundreds of years, yes. Since the dawn of time. What happened, Jeff, that has, well, tipped the balance, perhaps?
Well, let's put this in historical context here. First of all, Collinsville is one of the winningest high school programs in the country. Kudos to them. Or I think they're third or fourth on the all-time winning list. However, they haven't been good in about 10 years, and Edwardsville has the longest winning streak against the Collinsville Cayhawks. I believe it's 18. It was broken last year. This year, they beat us first game of the year, and just this past Tuesday night, they defeated us as well in overtime at Fletcher Gym here in Collinsville. So they've beaten us twice this year already. They're ranked at that time, I don't know if the rankings have changed since then, they were ranked fourth in large schools in the state of Illinois. That's Collinsville, and Edwardsville is ranked 10th as far as large schools in the state of Illinois. So hopefully, but in 3 weeks, the sectional semifinals will be at Fletcher Gym, and most likely it'll be, you know, third time around.
Now, you didn't get to actually go to this game because it wasn't it Valentine's night?
That was not the reason. Oh. Beth and I never observe Valentine's Day on the day because we don't like to spend the extra...
Stupid me!
Yeah, extra okay. money at the restaurant. So, but Katie, I coach Katie, the third grade girls basketball team, and we had a game at 8 o'clock on Valentine's night at the YMCA.
All right. Well, that's the news from Collinsville and Edwardsville, where Collinsville regained the upper hand, at least temporarily. When we come back, some of your email will respond to it, and the Issues Etc. comment line.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel. You don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, February the 17th. We're going through listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line after we got through with the basketball news. I understand that your brother did go to that game, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And
He didn't think things were quite fair.
Well, let's put the best
construction
on this.
They were doing it the Collinsville way. Is that what was happening?
Yes. A dead ball. Arizona has fouls to give to get in the bonus so that you can force the other team to the free throw line and stop the clock. So there's two dead ball inbounds. We were kind of holding their players that were inbounds.
Right, trying to do it on purpose.
Yeah, so they call the foul before they get the ball inbounds. And apparently, according to my brother Mike, that happened two times, and the clock started twice. On dead balls.
And they didn't put the time back on the clock, I understand.
No, they didn't. And there was a phantom traveling violation against one of our players that even I saw on an Illinois High School sports website, a Collinsville fan said nobody in the gym saw it. We're down by three in overtime with 18 seconds left, and it was being referred to as the phantom travel call. So, you know, Collinsville has a history of being, you know, there's mob connections to Collinsville, and we kind of thought they had all come and gone, but apparently Don Corleone is alive and
well
here.
How often does Craig tell us you never go against the family?
That's one of his
constant things. You never go against the family.
Remember that, Tori. If you marry into that, that's what you're getting into.
Yep. Well, hey, that's what I say.
Another business item. Craig brought up a good point. We need more people to call in on the comment line. The new and improved, we believe it's improved quality-wise, right?
Oh, I think it's definitely improved quality-wise. It's 618-223-8382. That's what's new about it. It actually is a better phone line, too. 618-223-8382.
But what we need more people like the truck drivers, moms in Ohio, homeschools mom. Just tell us your vocation. You know, this is Jim, an attorney in Las Vegas. And I love Issues Etc. or something like that. Just tell us your vocation, where you're from, something about Issues Etc. We need some new ones for the open themes.
We've got airline pilot. We've got Mac developer. We've got a Duluth mail carrier who actually is in a boat. And then we've got a number of truck drivers from all over the country. We got a homeschooling moms,
right?
So if you can think of some sound associated with your particular vocation, you love Issues Etc., just give us a call on the comment line, 618-223-8382. Say what you want to say about Issues Etc., and then honk your horn, whatever sound is associated with what it is you do, and we'll fix it up. We'll fix it up. You'll find it in the open theme in not too long.
Thank you very much. This first piece of email requires a little bit of context here. During your interview Wednesday with Dr. Angus Manoj on the image of God in Lutheran education, Dr. Manoj had said some things that Charles in Accident, Maryland disagreed with regarding the image of God, and he posted that on Facebook, and we addressed that during the interview, but then this was his follow-up email to what Dr. Manoj had to say to his Facebook post, that something Charles didn't like that Dr. Manoj said. Charles writes, "So the confessions aren't wrong." She's talking about the Lutheran confessions. "So the Lutheran confessions aren't wrong about what they say about original righteousness. They're just wrong on their definition of the image of God. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in, Maryland, Charles."
Okay. Well, I think that Dr. Manoj cleared it up quite well. The predominant way that the Lutheran confessions define the image of God is original righteousness, fear, love, and trust in God. And that is what is lost entirely, entirely. Not bare knowledge of God, but fear, love, and trust in God that is lost entirely in the fall. So when we talk about total depravity, we're talking about the total loss of original righteousness, a proper fear, love, and trust in God that Adam had before the fall and forfeited in the fall. That's how the Lutheran confessions predominantly define it. Because, of course, when they're talking about image of God in their context, they're also dealing with an issue of how fallen is fallen man, and And is he partly fallen? Is he a little bit fallen? They want to emphasize that. And that is a perfectly biblical way of defining the image of God. There is a broader, and I think this is the word that Dr. Manoj used, there is a broader biblical way of defining it. It's not against it. It's simply a broader definition of the image of God. And the passage that he referred to was from Genesis, this would be Genesis chapter 9. And I thought it was a great place to go to find a biblical use of the image of God that is not, narrowly speaking, simply the original righteousness, but is a broader definition. And here it is. This is where Noah has come out of the ark, and God is giving him every living thing to eat. And no longer will it just be a vegetarian diet for Noah and his family. They will now be able to eat animals. Every moving, this is verse 3 of chapter 9, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you as I gave it you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. For the lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning of the life of man. And then here's the prohibition against murder again for a particular reason. Now listen. Verse 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And then he goes on to say, be fruitful and multiply. There's a great example of the Bible using the term image of God in a broader sense than merely the original righteousness. God still prohibits murder for precisely the reason that even in his fallen state, in some sense, man retains the image of God in a broader sense. And that is, not original righteousness, but in the broader sense that he still created in some way. And I think Dr. Manoj did a pretty good job of kind of feeling out those ways in which man retains an image of God, as he put it at the end of the thing, which in no way whatsoever aids man in true knowledge of communion with God. It's just simply what's left over, the meager shreds of what's left over after the image of God is destroyed, and in that broader sense, man still bears God's image. Now, I would take it further than that, and I would say we do some moral reasoning with regard to murder routinely, and I'm thinking here about the abortion issue. When we talk about man, human beings, all human beings have intrinsic value or intrinsic worth worthy of our protection in law and in society, and we base that intrinsic value upon the fact that man is created in God's image, present tense. Does that mean that man in his fallen state retains any original righteousness? No, we affirm what the confessions say there. But it does mean that in some sense, man continues to bear the image of God. He has not ceased to be man when he fell. But in some way, he retains the image of God in a way that in no way aids him in communion with God or knowledge of God, but still makes us culpable and morally responsible to one another, especially with regard to taking life. I think that's probably exactly what Dr. Manoj would have said, and he probably would have been able to say it in fewer words than me.
This is Herman calling February 16th to point out that this morning, Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has spoken in Washington against the implications of the health care insurance law to uphold freedom of conscience, the reason for which the Saxon Lutherans left Germany in the early 1800s and came to the freedom of America, that freedom may stay intact for the practice of one's Christian beliefs and conscience. We can credit him with standing in that history of witness today. That is also reflected in what Dr. Lowell C. Green described among the Lutherans in the time of Hitler's Germany in the book Lutherans Against Hitler from Concordia Publishing House, that Lutheran leaders and pastors spoke out against the Nazi regime and its false doctrines and their impact. So as well as the early Lutheran Peter Muhlenberg, who, to preserve the separation of undue interference of state sponsored churches into the lives of Christians, became an officer in the Continental Army of George Washington, who was a pastor at that time of the Muhlenberg family in colonial America. So it is a good day, and we can be thankful that in the history of Lutheranism in America, that Pastor Matthew Harrison has taken the stand that he has. It is a great day. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can really hear the increased quality on that comment line. Sounds great. So I agree. Yesterday, we actually had the opportunity in the midst of his travels back from Washington, D.C. to this area to have a conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison. You can hear it at our website, issuesetc.org, in addition to his opening statement, about 5 or 6 minutes of opening statement that he made before the committee in Washington, D.C., and kind of a chance to explain what he was there for in our interview with him. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We've also posted it at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And also under the Listen on Demand, you'll see a link to the video of his opening statement and also a transcript of his opening statement there at our website, issuesetc.org. It is a good day, and I think the best case that Pastor Harrison had to make there was, look, essentially saying it takes an awful lot to get a Lutheran to come and talk to Congress. We don't come here for just any old thing, and we believe very strongly in a separation of two kingdoms, and we believe very strongly that where God's word speaks, we do not have anything to say, but this is a case where we have to obey God rather than men. And he made the case as far as he could make it. He made it as a Lutheran. He clearly confessed the gospel before our elected officials and before the public, and he made a plea with this administration for preserving our religious liberty. Did a very good job. We'll be right back. How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sex selection abortion is commonly practiced in India. Most parents want a boy, so they abort if the child is a girl. Sin begets sin. After decades of sex selection abortion, other grievous problems have developed. One is a severe shortage of wives. It's said every village in India has 5 or 6 bachelors who can't find a wife, so brothers are sharing one woman among them. A woman who escaped such a situation said she was forced to have children for her husband's 2 brothers. When she resisted, she was beaten. Many parents who had daughters gave them names that mean unwanted. To counter this, a health officer arranged a renaming ceremony where girls could pick a more positive name. Sin begets sin. Like India, America too will suffer the judgment of abortion.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, the 17th of February. We're going through our listener email, responding to it, Issues Etc. comment line as well. And then we'll pick Issues Etc. blog of the week in hour 2 of the program. What are we going to be doing? Oh, we're going to be talking with Dr. Paul Meyer of Western Michigan University about 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Tomorrow marks the anniversary of his death. And that's where we'll start our conversation with Dr. Meyer, talking about how his life ended. And then we'll kind of go back around and talk about his particular contribution, not only theologically, but culturally as well. That's coming up in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
This is an email from Joanne. This has to do with your conversation or series of conversations with Pastor Timothy Meck on pastors and elders. She writes, in the New Testament, we have the terms overseer, elder, shepherd, and waiter on tables. The first three seem to have religious duties and have a calling for it. Waiters sometimes do and sometimes don't. Why don't we have such a hash made of this naming scheme within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Elders in the New Testament are not a church council. Should elders be elderly, at least in the faith, and beyond an age of such as 45? Thanks for the email, Joanne.
Well, what we need is we need more accurate words. What we need are to let the biblical words be what they are in the Bible and not use them in some other sense. We haven't done this out of malice or really, I think, even out of, I think it's an accident of history and of language probably accounts for it. Maybe borrowing nomenclature from church bodies that don't carefully distinguish between pastor and lay people, that might have something to do with it as well. Look, what we're talking about, whatever we call it, we have those who are called to publicly administer the word and the sacraments. We would generally call them pastors. We can also call them elders, because the Bible does. And we can also call them overseers or bishops or shepherds. And there are a bunch of other names. We use clergy. We use reverend. We use all those kinds of things. Then there is the office of the laity. And the real particular question here is, how is it best that the pastor called to do this by Christ through his church can be aided and supported and held accountable by the laity? All the laity have the responsibility to hold accountable their pastor to his vow and to God's word, but it is often expeditious, it's often prudent to set aside certain men to especially do this on behalf of the congregation. Now, we have up to this point, at least in English-speaking circles, my circles called them elders, which there's the confusion. What do we need? We need a better word. Could we call it, could we call them deacons? Perhaps, although we've got a churchly office called deacons that is built a little more around that waiting on tables thing from Acts chapter 6 and 7. So we need a better word. And you're right. In the New Testament, the elders are not the church council. They're, in fact, the clergy. So I say the best thing to do is find some way to graciously extricate ourselves from the mess that we've made in terms of our words and keep the nomenclature we have for pastors and find a better word to describe what it is we're asking elders to do in the congregation so that we don't confuse it with the pastoral office or with the way that the Bible uses the term.
So from Jim, he says, I was glad to hear your interview with Eric Metaxas and later to hear his speech he gave at the National Prayer Breakfast. After hearing it, I had some thoughts to send your way. One, I know his speech was not a true sermon. However, I would bet serious money that his speech would do far better on the sermon diagnostic than many sermons you have previously listened to. Two, his distinction between religion and religiosity struck me as so apropos to what Jefferson Bethke was trying to say, but failed with his Why I Hate Religion rant on YouTube. The main point that Eric Metaxas was able to articulate that Bethke couldn't was that religiosity, what Bethke called religion, wasn't really of any value anyway. Jefferson Bethke couldn't admit that, because if he did, his whole rant would be seen as a straw man.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I confess that I didn't listen to the interview or the speech right away, as my email is a bit late in coming. However, I did notice that you used a quote from him in your bump music. The quote pertaining to who is fully human struck me as coming from a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender advocate, in that their rhetoric these days aims at making people feel like LGBT people are less than human in the eyes of the law and the culture. I found it amusing that both pro-life advocacy, which is what I am assuming Metaxas was hitting at, and LGBT advocacy would both claim the idea of a less than fully human status to gather sympathy and support for their cause. Thanks for all that you do, and may God continue to bless Issues, etc. Listening online, just up the mighty Mississippi in Rock Island, Illinois. Thanks for the email, Jim.
Well, thanks for listening in Rock Island. And look, you can be as late as you want to on listening to the audio. That's, we love our on-demand listeners. Real smart one there, too. First of all, I'm going to go backwards, and Jeff can remind me what the questions are. Backwards. I specifically asked Eric Metaxas if, when he was referring to those that we consider less than human, less than worthy of protection, I asked him, who were you thinking of? And he said, the unborn. And the reason that that little argument works for the unborn, but not for the LGBT crowd, is because, first of all, no one is asserting, no one credibly asserts that someone who is a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered is less than human in any sense of the word. No one says this. That may be an inference they draw from where they think they've been disenfranchised. And it does not compare with the unborn in any way whatsoever, because the unborn are not afforded protection at all. Not even the simplest protection, that is the right to life. So Metaxas did mean the unborn, and the argument falls flat when attempted by the LGBT crowd, because no one is questioning their personhood or whether they should be protected in law. You mug a gay person, you go to jail just the same as if you mug a straight person. You kill a gay person, you go to jail just the same as if you killed a straight person. You kill an unborn baby, you don't go to jail. Okay? I think that says enough. What was the second question? The second one had to do with...
You're going to make me get out of the trash can here. Sorry about that. Thank you, Craig.
Jeff bugs me about throwing stuff away too soon. Yeah. I keep mine on a nice pile on top of the trash can so I can refer to it again.
Don't go there. He says, he was talking about Jefferson Bethke, Why I Hate Religion.
And see, I was listening to Metaxas talk about religion versus religiosity, or faith versus religiosity, and I thought exactly the same thing. This is what Jefferson Bethke was trying to say but failed to say, because he made a false distinction. And really, he was using a definition that is, quite frankly, anti-Catholic, that he picked up from Mark Driscoll. So you use a bad definition, people will call you on it. Eric Metaxas was talking, I think what he was talking about was the pious religiosity of our elected officials on days like the day of the National Day of Prayer or gathering for the National Prayer Breakfast. Then everybody gets religion. I think that's what he was criticizing more than anything. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's my speculation. I didn't ask him about it. As to whether or not it would probably do a better job of passing the sermon diagnostic than many of the sermons that we review here on Issues, etc., he might be right. He might be right.
This email comes from Janice. She's following up on a comment from a listener, France, last week, talked about not being baptized as a baby and the uncertainty that followed that.
Oh, yeah.
And Jan from Tennessee says, from one of the forgiven listeners in radio, I was baptized in the Baptist church. I have felt exactly what your listener from France has felt. I like to look back on that 7-year-old girl and thank my Heavenly Father that he spared me all those years unbaptized. Thanks for listening. And thanks for sending it from your iPad, Jan, in Tennessee.
Wow, that's a great way of looking at it. You know, we pray when we find out that a woman is going to have a baby. We pray, and in the church that I attend, we pray this over a pregnant woman every time she's at the communion rail, that God would preserve this child and the mother until the rebirth of water and word in holy baptism. And God is actively preserving many a child for many a year, until the water and word and the rebirth of holy baptism. So that's a prayer that God answers. And I do understand this trepidation with which people look back on a baptism that they know was performed where no one thought God was doing anything at all. They thought it was all that little 7-year-old girl's doing. But God knows better, and God's word continues to shine in its value in spite of the fact that we do not often appreciate its value. And God's word does what it says. Luther cited as evidence for infant baptism the preservation of the church. He says the church, if the church were wrong in baptizing infants, and he had some people in the Radical Reformation who were questioning infant baptism. No one ever had up to this point, but they were. entirely against Scripture. And Luther said, if infant baptism were not God's, not only his mandate, but his promise, strong and sure, the church would have ceased to exist a long time ago. Simply would have. Because if baptizing an infant didn't do anything, if God wasn't acting in that, then the church would have ceased to be. Faith would not have been engendered. Now, their response was, well, yeah, but so many people are baptized as babies and then fall away from the faith. And Luther says, look, gold is gold, whether it is worn by a king or by a harlot in wickedness. It's still gold. It still retains its value. The abuse of something, that is, turning your back on baptism, does not diminish its value, but only highlights its value. Baptism can be abused because it is of such great worth and such great promise. Now, when we come back from this break, we'll go through a little bit more of your listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, and then we're going to pick our picks for Blog of the Week. It's Friday afternoon, February the 17th. In hour two, we're going to do a biography of 16th century reformer Martin Luther, just spoken of. Dr. Paul Meyer of Western Michigan University will be our guest.
It's the getting to the point that is the hardest part. If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
So tell me why haven't I heard from you?
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, coming to you live on this Friday, February the 17th. Going through listener email in just a minute. We're going to go through our picks for Issues Etc. blog of the week.
All right, this comes from Robert. He says, how do I get your link on my blog?
Thanks. Is he talking about the widget?
The widget.
Okay.
What is a widget?
A widget is a little picture that is, in reality, a hyperlink, something that you click and it takes you someplace specific on the internet. And our widget can be found at our website, issuesetc.org, under the support page, very bottom of the page. There's a little version and a larger version. Now, let's see. There are instructions there on the support page for both kind of your run-of-the-mill blog, Blogger, and all the other places where people do their blogs. Then there's special instructions that I think work. I wrote them. I think they work for WordPress blogs. WordPress is one of the biggest blogging platforms out there now. The problem is it doesn't support, and please excuse my French, it doesn't support JavaScript And when it doesn't do that, it doesn't allow our widget to work. So I think I found a workaround for that. I think I did. I think I found a workaround for that, which looks like a widget but isn't a widget. And if you know how to do your blog and you can follow those simple instructions on WordPress, you can put your the image there wherever you really want to put it in the sidebar of your blog. Now, if it doesn't work, please someone tell me, todd@issuesetc.org, and I'll ask someone who actually knows what they're doing, and maybe we'll find another workaround for it.
This email comes from Jeremiah in New Orleans. He says, I have a question more than a particular comment or suggestion. Our congregation is preparing to go through the Witness Mercy Life Together Bible study, and I hope to share some of the Issues Etc. interviews to help promote both the Bible study and Issues Etc. to our congregation. I've been using the Google search engine to try and sort through the past interviews, but since Witness Mercy Life Together is also part of some of your guests' job titles, I end up with a pretty broad amount of search material. Do you have any suggestions for narrowing the search or a list of interviews on the topic that I could specifically search for? Any assistance would be greatly appreciated, writes Jeremiah, listening in New Orleans.
Well, I can think of only one interview that we've done specifically on Witness Mercy Life Together with that emphasis. But I can think of a number of interviews that include much of what is there. And those interviews that we've done were done with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We do have a whole page of Matt interviews, don't we? Like a page dedicated to Harrison interviews?
Yeah, I don't know where you'd find it, but we do have that.
I'll look it up here in a second. Maybe before the end of the hour, I can mention what it is. It's probably issuesetc.org/Harrison. And if you look there, you probably find not all the interviews we've done with him, but a lot of those ones, especially after his election to president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a lot of those conversations did have some emphasis on Witness Mercy Life Together. And well, as his time frees up, he's extremely busy right now, going from place to place, really visiting the various districts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Maybe we'll be able to schedule an interview with him. When is the next? We got a really lucky opportunity yesterday for about 5 or 6 minutes to talk to him as he was climbing on a plane. But I don't think the next time we're going to be talking to him is until next week. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct. February 24th, I think, is the next scheduled interview with him. I don't think we've done Witness Mercy Life Together with Harrison.
Not with Harrison. Who did we do it with?
Dr. Al Culver, assistant. The best one, we did an entire hour, I believe, on those three themes, mm-hmm. Which are now the emphases in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I would type Al Culver, Dr. Culver,
it's
Witness
Mercy Life Together. It's C-O-L-L-V-E-R. And we've only interviewed him a handful of times in the last couple of years, so you could probably not have to sort through too much to get to it.
You know, people, we need to talk about that more often. There's the Google search engine. That's what Jeremiah was referring to at our website. Just click Listen on Demand. I think it's on all the other pages except the home page. Over the right upper right-hand corner, there's a Google search engine there. You could type in a topic or guess. It'll pull up a bunch of past shows that might pertain to the particular topic or guest that you're interested in. Let's see, one more email. This comes from Keith. He says, I used to support an evangelical ministry that encouraged members to pray for every nation in the world. I really miss this since returning to the Lutheran Church. Recently, I listened to an old show, I think, on the church in China, and I enjoyed it very much. I would like to suggest that you consider a spot once a month or even once a week where a country is highlighted and explained to listeners both the country and its people and the church there. One nation in particular that seems no one knows about is Burma, and especially the mountain tribes there, many of whom are Christian. So I did a search engine, found your shows on Lutheranism around the world, and found four nations featured. I'll be listening to them. Still, I think more can be done to educate about the worldwide church. Really like the show on China. Thanks for the email, Keith.
Well, this is an occasional series that we do, and when we say occasional, it's usually because the interviews fall into our lap. Someone comes visiting from another country, and we try and arrange an opportunity to speak with them about Lutheranism wherever they are. And I think we've done more than four in that series. And I think it was probably on my list someplace at some time to put together a page that's dedicated to Lutheranism around the world as well. And we'll see how much we have there. But again, those interviews tend to fall into our lap. There are some places that we could probably actively pursue. We could start talking, searching around for people. And I think we could get past the language barrier. As long as our guests speak English in some form, we could probably bring you a pretty good smattering of countries around the world talking about Lutheranism wherever it's found.